like so many teenagers growing up, when we were old enough to go to the movies, you know, by ourselves, I, like so many other older teens and young adults, used to flock and see scary movies. And we thought seeing scary movies were the greatest thing, and if they could actually scare you, you thought, what a motion picture. They scared me. And it was such a movie that I went to see one time by myself and couldn't sleep that night, and it was on my mind, and I thought, is that really true, or is that fake? I remember hearing something about it in the Bible studies my grandfather used to give when I was a youth, but nevertheless, I pondered it. I had gone to see the first of what was then titled the Omen Trilogy, and the story surrounded the chronicled life of a man named Damien Thorne, who was deemed to be the Antichrist. And just those words alone were enough to frighten a kid who didn't know a whole lot about what an Antichrist was. And moviegoers cheered by the end of the third movie in the trilogy because Damien met his demise. And at his demise, Jesus Christ returned. The only part I really struggled with was, okay, a woman killed Damien, and then Jesus came back. I didn't remember seeing that in the Bible anywhere. But nevertheless, this man had beneath his scalp the numbers of 666, and of course there was whole oodles and oodles of theories surrounding that, and there still is. Conspiracy hunts for one deemed to be the Antichrist have been going on for hundreds of years, trying to locate who the Antichrist was. And, of course, as it does many times, Hollywood got breath of that and decided to put forth a movie, as they've done so many times, the latest being Noah, which, again, is it's fiction. I'll just put it like that. Somebody got the bright idea they were going to retell the story of Noah. But again, all sorts of things have come since the looking and the searching for this one deemed to be the Antichrist. You've had people who are into numbers. Numerology is huge. Trying to locate a person. Everything from their date of birth to the numbers of letters in their name. I remember one year, everybody thought that President Reagan was the 666 guy because his name was Ronald Wilson Reagan. So 666, and everybody got afraid he's going to blow up the world. Didn't happen. You know, some people worked backwards, and they thought Nero was the man, the Antichrist. Nero was the Antichrist. Look at all he did to the Christians. Surely he must be the Antichrist. People identified him as the prototypical beastly individual that we read about in the Bible. And again, Nero was indeed cruel. He did persecute people. He did crucify them. He did use human beings as human lampposts by setting them on fire. But with all of that, and as evil and as sinister as that was he indeed the Antichrist? And is there a difference, brethren, between Antichrist and the beasts that we read about in Revelation? Who are these figures? Today I want to talk to you about what it is to be Antichrist. Does that have anything to do with the beasts that we're going to read about today in the book of Revelation? And also pose the question, was I an Antichrist, which happens to be the title of our message. Was I an Antichrist? Something I've never thought about, but again, as the message unfolds today, we're going to look at what it is to be an Antichrist. Is there a way back from being an Antichrist? What must an Antichrist do? Or are you doomed, as so many people feel, to go to hell, which is their thought process to what's going to happen to this individual, or what is the truth regarding Antichrist? First, we have to distinguish between beast and Antichrist. So let's open up today, family, by going to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. We are presented with a description of the beast. As we break into the context here, one beast has already been noted. Now we have a second one. One came up out of the sea. This one comes up out of the earth. The Apostle John receives this vision, and he describes it here, beginning in verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. I read of no historical evidence that Nero ever did this. I read of no historical evidence that any man has done anything like this or has caused people to try to worship this beast that was, again, healed of its wound. He's got power, and signs are being performed. Verse 14, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And so he has been granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So, as it says in verse 16, great, small, rich, poor, it doesn't really matter your status. They receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads. Verse 17, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Again, I'll read anywhere where President Reagan did this. So who is this? What is this? And then we're told, here is wisdom, verse 18. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. And I remember coming into church in 1983, you know, one of the stories buzzing around was that everybody felt that this person was already born. They were living somewhere in the world, living probably a very sheltered life, and probably going to grow up and be some kind of businessman and very influential, and all of a sudden, bang, he was going to burst on the scene. Okay, that was 1983. Okay, we're now 2014. And again, we don't really see one individual. You know, we see people who every now and then do certain things. You've got all the things going on right now in the Ukraine. Russia doing its thing, but again, do you see something that would just point to somebody like Mr. Putin? Do you see the things in Iraq that's happening right now? You know, Taliban is back, you know, but you don't see, again, what personage is there that we might say, hey, that guy's pretty interesting. That guy, we have to note that guy. This guy is saying things and they're happening. This guy, in front of all of us, called down fire. We don't see that at this time. So, is this person alive right now? I don't know. Nobody knows but God. Nobody knows but God. But we do understand there's going to be something there. It calls for wisdom. And if you have insight, and we will see certain things happening, brethren, prophetically speaking, we're going to say, you don't see that happen every day. And it wasn't smoke and glasses and mirrors or anything like that. This actually happened. And so that'll give you an indicator. So we find here two beasts, one on the sea, one on the land. They are, brethren, Antichrist. They are Antichrist, both of them. They are Antichrist. They're beasts, and they are Antichrist, to use the prophetic statement here of what they are likened to. Now, the Archangel Gabriel shares information about this figure in the book of Daniel. Now, the book of Daniel, we all understand, there are dual prophecies in the book of Daniel. Some happened during Daniel's life. You know, he got to see the first two portions of that statue of the gold and the silver. He got to see that. But there were other things that happened after Daniel had died that happened a couple hundred years later. Some of them have yet to happen. So again, you have the dual prophetic meaning in some of these areas, the dual prophecy. Now Daniel hears about this man. He's a ruthless man that we hear about. And he is from the Seleucid lines, and he didn't know his name, but we find out, now through history, a man named Antiochus Epiphanes. Antiochus Epiphanes, who would be a chief player in what was described as the abomination of desolation. And you will remember, he had erected the image of Jupiter Olympus in the temple and sacrificed swine and poured the blood all over the temple. So that was the abomination. Daniel did not see that, but he was told there was something bad that was going to happen. In Daniel 8 and verse 23, if you remember, Seleucid himself was one of the four generals of Alexander the Great, one of the four who was, he and Ptolemy were the two that prospered. And of course, it's believed that Cleopatra was of the line of Ptolemy, one of the descendants there. But Seleucid was also one of these generals who prospered. Daniel 8, verse 23. When the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Now, what does that statement mean, family? Okay? That tells you what? Something's working behind the scenes. There is a power back there, very much like the power we read about in the book of Revelation. Those individuals who doing, there is something working with them. And we know that to be Satan the devil. So again, this guy's powerful also. He shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule, and he shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. Now again, Antiochus did some of these things, but there was one thing he did not do, and we're about to read this in just a moment. Let's read verse 25 again. Through his cunning he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule, and he shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. I think the King James says in their peace. So during peace, he's going to make war. He shall even rise against the prince of princes. Now who's that? Okay. So Antiochus Epiphanes did not do this. The Maccabees were the ones who got together and said, you know, we need to take this guy out. So the book of Maccabees, the Maccabee family, they went against him and ultimately made life so bad for Antiochus that he fled the scene. So, but he never went against the prince of princes, okay? And again, we read this, but he shall be broken without human means. So what does that tell us? Okay. What does that tell us? We're going to read in just a second how this entity is going to be engaged, how this person who exercises power and is Antichrist is going to be engaged. Again, this is a dual portion of the prophecy. Again, we know Antiochus Epiphanes did not face the prince of princes. This is another person. And we're going to read about this engagement in just a moment. Let's go back to one of our questions we asked earlier. Was I Antichrist? Was I Antichrist? Many of us have our stories, and some of them we tell during the night to be much observed about how God called us and how some of us kicked and screamed and fought and argued and didn't want anything to do with what God was helping us to understand. And then God began to show us our true nature. And in Ephesians chapter 2, once God began to show us really who we were, could we say that we, before conversion, were Antichrist? That we were against Christ, or our concept of Christ was wrong. It was inaccurate. Our concept of God the Father, if we even knew about God the Father, some people don't even know about the Father. But we're told in Ephesians 2, verse 1, Paul states to the brethren here, he says, and you, he, okay, Jesus Christ, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Which means what? We were dialed into a different wavelength. It was Satan's wavelength and Satan's philosophies and Satan's teachings and Satan's gospel. Remember what Jesus said? There will be false Christ out there. If you have a false Christ, that means, and you follow it, then that means whether it's openly done or ignorantly done, you are against the real one because you're following after a different one. And that's why some of us fought. It's like, no, I like this. Don't make me lose Easter. Don't make me give up, you know, crab cakes. Shrimp, you know, you tell them, it's ever so slowly. He goes on to say, this spirit now works in the sons of disobedience. And that's what some of us were. We were disobedient. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. So, family, as former sons of disobedience, because I was one of them. I didn't grow up in the church. I was a son of disobedience. We could say, yeah, we were Antichrist for a little while because we didn't know. I did not know what the death of Jesus Christ meant for me in truth. To me, it was
hot cross buns, Easter eggs, you know, and life was good. A chocolate rabbit. I didn't know. There was a time that we were against our elder brother. Remember what Peter said? You don't want to call me. I'm a vulgar man. I'm against you. I like my vulgarity. So you don't want to call somebody like me. And Christ said, you know what? I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I'm going to do something. And how merciful is God, brethren? What does the scripture say? While we were at enmity. Okay, if you're somebody's enemy, are you not against them? That's why they're called enemies. He loved us. So there was a time when we were against him. And then he began to work with us and to draw us away. And then we learned about our status, and we learned that this was a place where we no longer wanted to reside in. If we go over a few chapters to Ephesians chapter 5, you know, Paul mentioned that term, sons of disobedience, three times. Sons of disobedience, sons of disobedience. He said, you were against him. He said, so was I. See, Paul was against him too. When he got struck down on the road to Damascus, what were the questions? Hey, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Do you persecute people that are your best buddies? No, you persecute your enemies. So he was against him for a time. Ephesians 5, verse 5, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. People try to fill in other things. Oh, you know, God's not desirous that you'll keep the Sabbath every week. You know, why don't you go ahead and work a couple? I mean, God, as long as you do it sometimes, those are empty words. Anything that speaks against what God is doing. He says, let no one deceive you, for because of these things, what things, brethren? The ones we just read and more. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon, guess who? The sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Why? That makes you a son of disobedience, and God will have nothing to do with sons of disobedience, which means you are against him. You are in an antichrist. Colossians 3. See, when we found out, we didn't want to be against God anymore. We didn't want to be against Christ anymore. Now that we had our eyes open, we said, well, like the men, what did we just keep here last Sunday? What was the response to the sermon given by Peter? Men and brethren, what must we do? We don't want to be against God. We don't want to be against the Savior, our Lord and Master. So what do? Same thing. Colossians 3, verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. And here's another listing. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon, guess who? The sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived. So though we were, for a time, an antichrist, I think all of us can safely say, brethren, we were never a beast. We were never a beast or the beast. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul is speaking to the brethren about information that was being disseminated amongst the church, stating that Jesus Christ had already come. Stories get started, things that are inaccurate. And so he reminds them of something. That must come to pass. And again, in your history in the church, and in my history in the church, we have sometimes heard people, even within the body, rise up and say, I think this man was the man of sin. And they'll use a name. I heard it as recently as about 6 years ago. Somebody said, that man, that's him. Paul said, there are things that have to happen before Jesus Christ returns. We understand there are things that have to happen before Jesus Christ returns. Remember the duality. There's going to be another what? Another abomination of desolation. In order to have another abomination of desolation, there has to be something actively happening called sacrifices, right? So you can have another abomination. And yet we have people running around saying that Christ has already returned. He's back. He's here. There's such an organization near the Richmond area that they preach Christ has returned. Guess what? You know where he is? He's in jail. And you know why he's in jail? He didn't pay his taxes. You know, so they get little tapes and things from him out of prison. I'm thinking, Christ came back and went to prison. Let me see from Scripture where that is. But these people believe that he is the anointed one. They speak Hebrew and everything else. And Jesus is sitting in prison and can't get out. Nothing new, brethren. These things have been going on for years. And it started also here. And the people are getting upset. You mean he's back? And so he reminds them, things have to happen. Now, brethren, 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 1, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. See, he's saying, listen, what do the scripture, Christ said, I'm going to come back, and guess what? I'm going to gather you with me. When did he say, brethren, I'm going to come back and go right to jail. That's where I'm going to be. That's his place of safety, in prison. What about us? So here we are, he said, listen, you know you're going to be gathered together with him. We ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter. As if from us. See, people are going around stirring up trouble, giving inaccurate information. You know, God spoke to me last night, and he said Christ was coming back Tuesday. Okay? So here, you better get ready. He said, we don't do that. So please understand, don't get troubled by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Now, again, why would you be troubled? Well, because if this is what's happened, then Scripture has been broken. See? If we can't believe God, brethren, if we can't believe in Christ, then what else do we have? Zero. Okay, if God said, well, you know, I thought about it, I'm going to change the whole plan. He said, there's no shadow of changing with me. I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And perhaps most importantly, brethren, if he came back, guess what? We're still human. I thought we're supposed to be changed. I'm still human. What's going to be in that other resurrection? I think I'll be a little bit upset. Because where are the spirit beings then? Something has changed. Because we knew that he said we would be changed at his return. So he says in verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means. So when you see men doing things, these lying wonders, as the Bible calls them, then if we are allowed to live, we are going to see these things happen. And the way people can get a smartphone up in your face at any time, can you do that again and show our TV audience? Oh, yeah, zip, boom, hey. Wow, Jesus. It's Jesus. Where are you at now? I'm over here in the desert. Zoom. Now, people run and flock around a piece of toast that looks like Mary. There's the Virgin. It's a piece of toast. No, it's the Virgin. What do you think is going to happen when somebody calls down lightning and blows up a tank? And then he said, do it again. He goes, okay, boom. What are people going to do? But he describes it. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed. Now see, some people think that's happened. Some people have called former church leaders that man. There's only one problem with that, brethren. A lot of these people they called up, they're dead now. Which does not fit into the scripture, and we're going to see why in just a second. So how can you say, oh, it was this guy. See, we had the falling away, and they're like, wait a minute. There's a part that you're leaving out. The son of perdition who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I have not seen that person, brethren. There's a lot of phony balonies out there. But he said, that, oh, no way. Yeah, how do you know he's a false prophet? Well, he drives a station wagon. So whatever it is, you see, you say, no. But you know what there are a lot of out there, brethren? Antichrists. There's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of antichrists. Speaking of the time just before the return of Jesus Christ, the Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18, he said, little children, I want to tell you something. It is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now, many antichrists have come. And a lot of those antichrists are now dead. They're dead. But there's going to be one that's alive when Jesus Christ returns. A lot of them have died. By which we know that this is the last hour. Now again, let's define the term. Antichrist. Antichrist means against or contrary to Christ. Barnes notes explains that this term is, quote, might denote anyone who either was or claimed to be in the place of Christ, or one who for any cause was in opposition to him. And that's from Barnes' Notes of the Bible. Now, what are some of the things that the Antichrist have done? Matthew chapter 24. Jesus said they're going to be saying a whole lot of things. And some actually use his name, but they teach against what he taught. That makes them an antichrist too. Although they might say, oh, we love the Lord. But Christ said, you know, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? You're not of me. If you're not with him, brethren, you are against him. Jesus answered, verse 4 of Matthew 24, take heed, let no one deceive you. The Apostle Paul would say the same thing later on. Take heed, please listen. For many, Jesus says, many. The Apostle John said, there are many antichrists that are out there. And they're going to say, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. That has certainly come to pass, has it not, brethren? People of influence have come on the scene claiming that they are the Christ or that Christ is working in them. Here's but a few of the claims these antichrists who proclaimed that they were of Christ have deceived people with. A secret rapture. Christ says, here's how I'm coming back. Oh, no, he's not. It's a secret. And there's going to be all kinds of casualties, and you're going to be riding along the road, and somebody's going to disappear, your driver, and then you all die. Oh, too bad. You know, your pilot in the jet plane, he disappears, and all the plane crashes. Oh, it's a secret rapture. Some have proclaimed the Ten Commandments are no longer in force. But they said, we are of Christ. Some have said, heaven or hell awaits you at death. But we are of Christ. We believe Jesus. So you either go up or you go down. Some said, oh, we're of Jesus, but we keep Sunday. We keep Sunday. That's the Lord's day. Some have said, you know, we're of Jesus, and the kingdom is here right now. Right now, the kingdom is here. Brethren, if the kingdom is here, some say God accepts all religions, all of them, which means we all got to coexist. We all got to get, and I'm of Jesus. Some have said he's already returned. I tell you about the gentleman's in prison. He's already here. He's in prison. And some preach that he's not risen from the dead at all. How can you have all that, brethren, and say, I am of Christ? Jesus continues in verse 11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Verse 23. Then if anyone says to you, he says, now you know what is going on. The keys of the kingdom have been presented to you. So when you see these things unfold before you, and someone comes up to you and says, look, I've seen the Christ. Here he is. Or there he is. Do not believe it. Do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, God's own elect. And we always say, what can someone show, brethren, that would shake our foundation so much we would consider? Remember the vision John saw, and he said he marveled? And he said, what are you doing marveling? Because marvel, he saw that beast, and he said, wow! Who can come up against that? And Israel said, what are you doing marveling at that? That thing's going to die. When these individuals, brother, start doing these lying wonders, we have to be careful. If we're not close to God, we can say, well, look, how do we know? See what happens to your faith? How do we know? God told you. Well, how can you say, how do we know? When God said these things would manifest themselves. And yet, if we're not close to God and studying and praying, we can be lulled into a sense of, well, you know, I know what you mean, Mr. Walsh, but really, how can that not be of God? See, you turn it around. How can that not be of God? And we say, well, who is the God of this world? That's who's doing the power. He has power. God granted him that power. He didn't remove it from him. And so he's going to be behind these lying wonders, and people are going to return to churches in droves and pray and give homage and all kinds of things to this entity. Christ said, see, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. I mean, what's a place where Satan can really get people going? Do something in the Middle East. See, do something near the Dome of the Rock, or do something near one of the sepulchres that they feel. Do something. Oh! And you can get people going. And we said a couple weeks, people go out, they pray on this rock, they cry on it. If you have somebody that comes there, boom! Because we don't see Christ returning that some rock is holy to him. There's no rocks holy to him. But people have made rocks and things holy, haven't they? And they're guarded. They feel this is where he was. Do a lying wonder there, and what would be the reaction of individuals who would say, this truly is of God? If he's in the inner room, do not believe it. Christ said, for as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, of course, a couple months ago we had the sermon regarding what the Catholic churches teach about the man coming back from the east. See, I'll say he's, oh, we're going to be ready for him. But Christ said, you already know, Al, I'm not coming back to it. I'm not coming back to the desert. I'm not going to be in the inner room. I'm not coming back to prison. I'm not going to jail. I mean, what did the man say, do you not pay the tax? Did they not pay the tax? Peter, get the fish. Here you go, pay the tax. Give the Caesar, do it. And now suddenly you don't pay your tax and you get put in prison. Yes, okay. Now, the Apostle Paul stated that these individuals who appeared as ministers of righteousness were simply following Satan's example of presenting themselves as angels of light. In 2 Corinthians 11, we read about that. And while the false Christs are doing their job, you've got this corrupt beast who is also an antichrist preparing for the return of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. Revelation 16, verse 12. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, that's Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, okay, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So the two human beings who are getting their power from Satan. They are spirits of demons. See, again, Brent, where is the power coming from? To perform signs. Okay? These are demonic things going on. But the signs look holy. You know, they're being done in the light. And so they go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle. He says, see what we're doing? We've got to protect you from the man on the white horse. And then they can dribble their stuff down. There's going to be a man. See, Satan knows, doesn't he? There's going to be a man on a white horse. He's going to come back. He's coming out of the east. and he's going to come across the sky going west. When we see that, we must destroy them. And the people say, yes, amen, they'll say. Yeah, we'll fight, yes. We will fight to maintain, yes. Jesus, we're with you, the Antichrist. We are with you. So let's gather together and have this battle of that great day of God Almighty, brethren. The draw for those who have given themselves over to becoming Antichrist is painfully simple. Many are going to lust for power. Many are going to lust for position. Some will lust for fame, attention, and they're going to get it. Satan's going to get it, because again, he can give. What do you tell Christ? These are mine. I can give them to you. I can give you fame, power, riches, whatever you want, as long as you what? Fall down and worship me. And this world will. But brethren, we understand the fate of the Antichrist, who is a beast, and he is a man. 2 Thessalonians 2. The man is going to be revealed. The saints of the Most High are going to go, there he is. There he is. If there is some kind of communication while we're in a place of safety, we're going to go, there he is. That's the man. Or men, in this case, beast and false prophet. They're going to say, there they are. We will know in due time, because of all the lying wonders that he's going to be performing through the power of Satan, the devil. And this is why, brethren, those who have opted to cry out that they know the man of sin, don't. Because Jesus Christ is going to personally take care of him. So you'll know. We don't know who it is. It hasn't been revealed, but he will. God says he's going to be revealed. So all the people that have cast their lot and made their decisions about who they thought it was do not know. And forget, brethren, so readily, Jesus Christ is going to destroy him when? At his return. He got sick and died. Well, he was the man. No! The Bible tells us what's going to happen. He's going to personally deal with this evil man. Verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And he's going to be taken out of the way, family. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Jesus Christ is going to do that. Not a sickness, not a disease, not a human being, run up there and kill him or whatever. Christ is going to deal with the man of sin. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth. So remember, Satan sacrifices his own too. What are human beings to him? He's willing to take them all out. He'll take the righteous and the unrighteous if he can get them. He just wants it all destroyed. So he'll let them all die. Some are not going to have the love of the truth. They're going to die. And sadly, some may have received it, but they didn't do anything with it, and it got poisoned because they mixed it in with their own doctrine and false teachings that they might be saved. In our Life, Hope, and Truth article titled Antichrist, Mr. Bill Swanson says, quote, "Although we do not know who this specific individual is at this time, we will be able to identify him in the future because of the power, signs, and lying wonders that will be granted to him by Satan the devil to deceive humans into disobeying and rebelling against Christ," which makes you what? An antichrist. This person will be destroyed at Christ's return to earth. What then, brethren, is the fate of all antichrists? What is the fate of all antichrists should they not repent? Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Some of these individuals will be so deceived, brethren, so deranged, so caught up in all that is happening, that they're going to fight Jesus Christ at his return. You will be there. You will be there. Having gathered together in the clouds with him on our way to Jerusalem, to the Mount of Olives, we are going to see this unfold. The beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gather together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. And as we see so many times, brethren, in the history of Israel, you always captured the kings. And they're going to capture them. The beast was captured. And with him, the false prophet. So they're not going to die in the battle. They're going to be captured. You wonder what their frame of mind is going to be as possibly, we don't know, angels will manifest themselves to be seen and grab them. Bang! So here they are. You'll see them. You'll be a spirit being, but you're going to see the human beings and go, there they are. So you don't have to worry about if you don't see them while we're in a place of safety. You're going to see them. They said, there they are. And you're going to see the dragon that gave them their power. We're going to see that. And they go, there they are. Just the way it was prophesied in the Bible, there's Antichrist. There's Antichrist. By which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. And then we will watch, family, as the two were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And if there's anybody else in there, obviously there's going to be people left. The rest were killed with the sword, which proceeds from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. So it's like our older brother is going to just take care of it. But that day, family, is going to come. That day is going to come to pass. And we will be there. We will see the lake of fire. And certainly thank God that that's not our future. and we will see the first two human beings go into it and be burned. John later identified anyone who would function as a false prophet, as a deceiver, and an antichrist. He says that in 2 John 1 and verse 7. He says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver," he says. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. He just calls it like it is. He makes no bones about it. Verse 8, he says, "Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward." So he says, look amongst yourselves, make sure we are grounded, spiritually grounded, that our faith will not waver, so that when these people come out and begin to do things, and we don't know who. Some may be people we may have known in our past church affiliations who left the church, but now they come back and go, "Hey, look, it's the Savior." And we're going to go, "No, it isn't. No, it isn't." And again, we talk about the amazing and sad truth when people have left God's church, but they forget. They forget God's truth. So guess what? If you forgot and something happens of a magnitude where you think, "Wow," see what is how easy it can happen? And they think, "Well, here Jesus has returned." Not knowing, brethren, having forgotten the truth of God. Verse 9. "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your home nor greet him." And so we battle with these people who come to our house. "I'd like to talk to you today. Bye!" Sometimes they're very persuasive. They want, "You know, I just want to talk to you a little bit." And they don't tell you what they want to talk to you about, you know, as they try to make their way into your door. You know, and they want to give you something or share something with you. Now, I'm all about, "Hey, how you doing?" But the moment you start to kind of give me something, I know this is not accurate at all. We inform them we are secure in our doctrines, that we are convicted in our beliefs, and toodaloo. What did Jesus say? "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." He went on to say in Matthew 7, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?'" I heard a Bible study the other day, someone was giving. I never thought about it before. You know, when people were in God's presence, they always fell forward. You see some of these so-called faith healers, they hit a person, which way did they go? They go backwards. But when Daniel fell face forward, he said, "Now I have my face on the ground." You know, just very, there's powers out there people have access to. And some are going to be doing wonders in Jesus' name. But when Christ returns, he's going to say, "I never knew you. You can use my name. You can put my name on a bumper sticker. You can do all that, but I still don't know you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." you know, those who hold to the practice of there is no God, it seems to be something that is rising up, especially in places of influence. I want to pass around to you a listing of individuals. Some you'll know, some may be a little obscure, of well-known atheists and agnostics. Like I said, this is by no means, brethren, an exhaustive list. But these are people that are in positions that, because they are, quote-unquote, respected and given special status, their actions speak loudly in so many ways that they are not afraid to do what they want to do. As I said, many of them are in entertainment. Some of them are in politics. And when you speak of individuals who can annihilate thousands of people, as people like Lenin and Stalin did, and not give it a thought, brethren, then you're talking about someone, I don't believe in no God. And since you don't believe in God, I'm going to do whatever I want. And so you think to who is Antichrist? Who is against God? Some of these people are against God. Some of them don't even know God. They don't have any thoughts about religion at all. And yet we're told, what family? That it's folly. The folly of the godless is the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And many of these individuals are in places of influence, brethren, and they influence people. And they influence people by their verbalizations and by their actions, and many follow after them and mimic and follow their actions. The Bible says they are corrupt, those who say there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. One day the figures on this list will have an opportunity to no longer be against Christ, against God. They're going to have a chance. Just like the people of Sodom one day are going to have a chance. The people of Gomorrah one day are going to have a chance. They're going to have an opportunity. It will be a blessing, brethren, when the term Antichrist is no longer used. Can you imagine that? There's going to be a day when it's no longer used. Why? Everybody's going to be for him. Everybody will know him. And this term will fade away. Just like death. Death's the last enemy to be destroyed. Antichrist is another enemy that's going to be destroyed one day. The word and all those who take up that banner and wear it. In 1 John 4, we're told, test the spirit. To see if they are of God. It is through the gift of God's Holy Spirit, which figured prominently last week during the Feast of Pentecost, that grants us spiritual discernment when it comes to assessing our spiritual environment. It says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that you go out and buy a Ouija board to test the spirit. Don't do that. Don't attend a seance to see if you can test the spirits. That's not what we're talking about. Okay, we're talking about, again, philosophies. We're talking about thoughts and what people are saying out there that they ascribe to God. But you knowing the word of God says, no, that's false. That is wrong. That's a half-truth. That is not of God. And you discern the spirits because God has granted you to have the gift of his Holy Spirit. Why? Because he says, many false prophets have gone out into the world. Like I said, family, some will use the family name of God in their teachings. They will use the family name. They will use it in such a way that they say their power comes from God. I speak God's word. People have changed the gospel and say God talked to them. God spoke to them. So he told me to take out demons and say, you are mentally deranged. There are no demons. They have changed, said there is no Ten Commandments necessary anymore. We test the spirits and say, no, that is a falsehood. That is inaccurate. Many false prophets, and they have, brethren, deceived many people. Some claim to speak the authority, by the authority of Jesus Christ. Satan is a liar, we're told. He is the father of lies. So what do you think his minions are going to do, brethren? They're going to lie like he does. And speak as if they are speaking with the authority of God and Jesus Christ. We, knowing the gospel and the truth of God, measure it against God's perfect word, his perfect law. And we say, this is accurate, or this is inaccurate. Verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and now is already in the world, and it is currently in this world, brethren. Verse 4, you are of God. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. How do we overcome them? By the word of God. By God giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not anything we did. It was through the power of God that we overcame them. Because he, you know, the power of God's Holy Spirit, which is in you, is greater than he who is in the world. And that's him and the beast and all the antichrist that will ever come. Brethren, you have overcome them all because Christ said, be of good cheer. I've overcome all of them. And since you're my family, you're going to overcome them also. Verse 5, they are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. And the world quotes them. And the world puts them in the newspapers. And the world puts them in the news media. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. See, this sums it up right here, brethren. This is why we don't try to convert people. See, when we speak to each other after service is over, we're going to hear each other. A stranger walking in, sitting up for a first, oh, I've never heard that before. I mean, you people, y'all think Saturday's the right day? Oh, no, I think Sunday, that's the Lord's day. They're not going to hear us. But we're of God. By this we know. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Before all is said and done, brethren, we understand there's going to be two final attempts by the Antichrist. Two final attempts. One's going to occur after the millennium when Satan is loosed. And one's going to occur after the second resurrection, when those who will choose not to obey God but show themselves to be incorrigible, those are the last two breaths of life, if I can put it that way, for those who will be antichrist. And after that, it's over. It's over. We understand Satan's going to be loose from his prison. He's going to go out. He's going to gather Gog and Magog, and they're going to come up to fight. They are Antichrist. And God himself will obliterate them. He's going to do that. And then we know at the second resurrection, the great white throne judgment, books are going to be opened. We know those books to be scripture. The people in time will be judged from those books. Those who have obeyed God are going to receive eternal life. Those who say no are going to go in the lake of fire. Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which are written in the books. See, that's plural. That's the Bible. And you have the one book, that's the book of life. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. After that is all concluded, brethren. Remember we talk about the last enemy to be destroyed? Here it goes. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. So ends, brethren, the workings of Antichrist. It ends that day. No more man of sin, no more beasts of any kind, except the ones that God creates that are good, and their countenance is changed, but no more man. No more humans who will turn their back on God. Let's close with 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. Paul begins by asking four questions. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He has. And brethren, we were called and given, we're able to see. You know, as we sit around, we talk about the geopolitical scope of the world, and we talk about, we see, and we know, and can say, without any, you know, inconsistency, man's not going to deliver this world. He's not. Jesus Christ is at his return. We're told if he didn't return, the world would blow itself up. So we can say, it's not going to happen through flesh. So where is the wise? For since, verse 21, in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. Again, there's a lot of smart people out in the world today. Very, very smart, very learned, academically driven, philanthropists, you name them, there's a lot of smart people out there. But where's the wisdom of God in so many of these individuals? It's not there. Why? It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign. Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, that's a stumbling block. They're still waiting for the Messiah, many of the Orthodox Jews. They're waiting for his first arrival. So it's a stumbling block. And to the Greeks, it's foolishness. We're told in the last days, people would, where's the, you keep talking about he's going to come back. We ain't seen nothing. And so we're going to go and do it. We're going to, and when he comes back, you let us know. Oh, they'll know when he's coming back. They will. They will. But to those who are called, verse 24, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. But of him, you are in Christ Jesus. There is no antichrist in us, brethren. We belong to him. We belong to our Father. We know where we belong. Who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And brethren, we will that day not fall prey to the false signs and wonders done by one whose power comes from the God of this world. We will glorify the one who comes in the air, drawing us up together, and will return with him. So, was I Antichrist? Maybe for a little time. But not anymore, thanks to God calling me and calling all of us that he might show us his nature and the nature of his Son. So when that day, brethren, that great day, when our elder brother returns, we will be where we're supposed to be. And with that, we will begin to put an end, ultimately once and for all, to all that is Antichrist.